Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Continue the preseason tonight in Carolina. The puck drops at 6 from the Lenovo Center. Over to the Marlins, who came back from being down 3-0 to beat the Phillies 6-5 in extras. The Marlins are at 77-80 and 4 games back of the final wild card spot. Game 2 of the 3-game series is tonight with the first pitch at 6:45 from Citizens Bank Park. And in soccer, Inter Miami will be in New York City tonight. Kickoff is at 7:30. Joe, the Marlins, they are still mathematically alive here.
And here they are, man, as you said, 77-80, nice comeback, down 3-0 early in that game last night, and come back and winning 11-7 straight. They've won 11 of 12. It's too late. It is too late. There's too many teams way out in front of them right now, and they need when you get in that situation, and if you're a Dolphins fan, you've had to deal with this. When you wait and you're going, well, we got a chance, there's 3 left, but you're going, well, there's 3 teams ahead of us by 1, and 1 beat us already head-to-head. And when you get to the end and you need everybody's brother to lose, it's just not a good situation when you're in that boat.
Yeah, but
they
surpassed expectations.
Oh, yeah.
Though,
not even,
when was the last time, the Dolphins did that?
No. Well, listen.
So it's a nice story because they actually surpassed their expectations
by a ton. They have, and it is a hell of a story. We've got.
You think they put any money into this thing and like try to build around?
No,
what they had no. Okay,
no.
That was quick.
I didn't get that yesterday.
Okay.
I got one little thing I was disappointed with yesterday from the manager is I said, hey, it looks like you got a core of 5 or 6 young guys. You can friggin' win with. They're coming up with big hits, and I know it's, you know, they've been up and down. A lot of guys, you know, some guys haven't worked out. Some have been injured that were good and are out. I mean, it's been a combination of everything. And then there's been some guys just been a good story. Stowers has been out since the All-Star break after it looked like he was going to hit about 35 home runs, and he has had an injury and ends up missing 40 or 50 games and won't finish the season here. But the disappointing part is he goes, well, we're going to have more of that next year. And I was like, nah, I don't want to hear that. Like in baseball, I don't want to hear about a whole bunch of open competition. I want to get to a situation like the Phillies, the Dodgers, the Padres. You want to know like by the free agents you're bringing in and what you've developed in your minor league system, you got a nice little combination there. And I don't think they're going to do that. Now, they'd love to find, you know, a whole bunch of guys that they've traded for in these trades, and you get them on the cheap for a while, and you can get a wild card, it would be the ideal situation. So anyway, hey, listen, besides that, we got the Ryder. I got to tell you, man, I am, before we get into all the football stuff, and we do have a lot of stuff to get to here, apparently I've stirred it up pretty good. I didn't realize somebody... I was wondering why my phone was going crazy yesterday. I go, it's a Jewish holiday. What's going on?
That's
what's
true.
Going on?
You did know that.
I did. Like, what are we doing? What's going on here? Oh, man, your stuff and I'm stuff. I got guys from California with my stuff. I'm like, what's – anyway, we'll get into all that. But I got to tell you, man, this Ryder Cup, it is one of my – and I don't golf. Stopped golfing years ago. Due to the frustration of truly sucking so badly and spending thousands of dollars through the years on lessons to a very good pro. Wasn't him. Was not the pro's fault. I'm not going to say his name. I love the guy. He's pretty famous guy down here. He's done real well. Known on the tour, you know, and is great. It's not his fault.
It's not Tiger, is it?
No. Just a teaching pro.
I know if you maybe had some lessons with
Tiger. No. But I realize, and I got a son. My son picks it up, could shoot, hits it like a pro, natural swing, goes out, you know, hasn't played in months, and, you know, shoots a really good score. And I, whether I practice every day and think I'm getting better and watch my swing and a guy slows me down and I just suck. I mean, and to the point I finally just quit. I just go, you know what? I'm going full-time tennis. I'm done. I loved it. Love watching it. Have great respect for those guys because I am so bad on how good they can be. But this Ryder Cup event between Europe and the United States is absolutely through the years. One of my favorite happens to, you know, get to watch a lot of it on Friday and Saturday, and Sunday's usually game day, but we got a Monday night game, so I'm going to be able to catch all of it. And all the different formats, alternate shots and best ball, and then, of course, match play on the final round. All the match play, that's just one-on-one, me, you. I'll give you that putt. No, that one you got to putt out. Little fist pumping, little bad blood if somebody gets too excited and says something, and the crowd, you know, they don't act like a golf crowd. It's awesome, you know. They're chanting and screaming and hollering, and it's in New York at Bethpage. I don't know about other people. I just absolutely, when it comes around, becomes one of my favorite events. Just absolutely love to watch it, Woody. I don't know if you get a chance to watch any of it or care. And, of course, all the guys, most of them playing the PGA Tour together. And now all of a sudden, Tommy Fleetwood and Rory and Justin will be representing Europe, and John Rahm, of course, from LIV Tour has been one of their top guys. So anyway, those guys will go against Scottie Scheffler and all the rest of those guys that they put together on the team. And by the way, I don't know if you remember, they used to rip if Tiger didn't play well or Phil, and they tried to play together. It was a disaster because they didn't really. Never really a love affair. I think there's respect, but just didn't work out when they put them together. And so through the years, man, and they keep track of your record, man. How do you play against Europe, man? How do you do? Oh, so you won some majors, but haven't exactly shown up in match play. So this is, and I heard yesterday, Scottie Scheffler, number one player in the world, and I'll get off this in a second. You can tell I'm a little excited about this thing. Scottie Scheffler here, guys. I was watching, of course, Golf Channel. And they're going, Scottie Scheffler's got to win all. He's got to get 4 points. If he doesn't get four, and I'm going, wow, throw it. They used to do this to Tiger. Like, all right, Tiger, doesn't matter who you're playing with. And besides match play, you need to go out and kick ass. And if you don't, you know, and hey, man, that's what people remember. So it's fun. It's a fun event. And again, I'm a guy that doesn't golf, but really respects and loves watching great golf, especially from the greatest players in the world right now. We have a lot of stuff going on here. We're getting set. We have a bye week with the Miami Hurricanes. We got some great games coming up this weekend. We'll be checking in with a little college football a little bit later on in the show. And then on top of that, the Miami Dolphins will play Monday night against the Jets, who've got their own set of problems right now trying to figure out how to win. And they've had two close games and had the lead late in two of their games and got their ass kicked by the Buffalo Bills. Got beat up real badly in that one. So we'll see. But I can tell you this. The Dolphins right now are saying themselves in their meetings, we got two games this week, Monday and Sunday, against the Jets at home and Carolina Panthers. And they are saying, we need to get to 2-3 before we play the Chargers, who are undefeated. I don't, you know, how good they are. We know Justin Herbert's having a great year. It looks like they got a good defense. Will be the next home game after that. But this week, in a matter of, 5 or 6 days, they have a chance to get to 2-3. And that's what they're talking about. We're playing better. There's no panic. I heard it all yesterday. I heard all the stuff, and hey, they should treat it that way. I mean, they can't treat it like we do. Like, yeah, we're not very good. All you guys are right. And this and that. And with Omar yesterday, and he thinks the defense is a bigger problem than the offense. And
That was his take yesterday?
Yes.
Okay. What was your take? What got people so riled up?
My comments about Tua does not look like Tua in his arm strength.
Basically. Okay, good.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, no. You a lot of people have been talking about your Tua stuff last few days here.
That's fine. I don't think I made it up, and
I don't know why any of it's surprising.
Yeah, like, whether and I don't have it, you know, to sit here and beat it up. I hope the guy gets it figured out. If it's not the case, and they try to throw 14 passes down the field,
you can certainly find someone else that can throw
on
those
Monday
passes.
Night. But he's your quarterback.
Wouldn't be the first team to make a switch.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen right now. Okay, don't stop.
I'm just saying it wouldn't be the only team to make a switch.
I appreciate having you back, but like, listen, man, they're not making a change after three games.
Okay.
They're just not.
Did Omar hit you with a lot of Tua numbers and how great he is and
no.
all that stuff?
No, he didn't
okay,
do that.
Good.
No.
He usually does that with me.
No, he didn't do that, and he was more on the defense,
huh?
And the whole thing, and I explained to him, it's going to be growing pains. The rookie class, we were all excited about. They're going. Most of them are going through it right now.
I mean, he knows they threw an interception late in that game, and that's why.
Yeah,
they
even
lost.
Though
okay, he knows that. Okay,
even though he had a guy in his face because he was, you know, trying to turn it into a Brunskill deal at right guard, and he did. He mm-hmm. missed a block, but you still made that throw. And like,
okay. I'm trying to figure out how he's blaming the defense. Like, I don't know what the take would even be.
Well, the defensive numbers are not very good. And I think if you saw his article in the Miami Herald today, he hit on, apparently he got a little excited here. We were talking yesterday because he did a big breakdown and a lot of the numbers are not good. Points per game. There's a lot of bad numbers.
Yeah. But that's the thing with Omar, the numbers, it's always numbers and not like what you're seeing.
Well, the numbers usually match up with what you're seeing.
That's not true because he hits you with all these Tua numbers and it doesn't work. It just doesn't always work that way, man.
But his stuff's not really about the numbers. His stuff's more about he's always on the offensive line. That his big thing, and you know he thinks he's an offensive line guy, and so he's talking about basically Patrick Paul and Aaron Brewer are the only guys playing well. And look at Savai Naya. Is struggling. He is struggling. Keon Smith on the other side was struggling. And but this young class, and he talked about the guys on the defensive line and have just gotten real quiet. And I said, listen, man, you drafted those guys. They weren't all going to show up day one and play. I think most rookies come into this league and you realize you don't open with like you do in college football a lot of times where you get some real weak teams on your schedule. You're playing against good players every week, no matter what. You're playing against really good players. You're playing against guys that are scheming against you, blocking you, showing you things you just haven't seen, and guys that are physically just as talented, if not more, than you are. So it's going to be a slow process. Hey, right now, Ollie Gordon might be the best rookie of everybody off what I saw. If you're just going by what you saw last game, Ollie Gordon – is probably your best rookie. Because
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNC's apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We've got a lot of those young guys that are playing. I want them to keep playing, man. I think there's upside to all of them. I'd rather play those guys.
It's never good, though, when it's a running back, right? When it's the best position, you're talking about running back, because that's such an easy position to hit on.
Yes, but...
If you were like, you were looking at positions,
Joe. You just flipped it on a negative.
I'm not trying to flip it negative, but like running back's the easiest position to hit on.
Yeah, you can bring guys in.
It's not exactly,
you
know.
Yeah, yes. I don't disagree with that, by the way. No. You see Kansas City they're picking guys up in the middle of the year and they end up being their guys, right? And keep doing it over and over, and guys go down. It seems like you can bring in a running back. Or
it's also the most injured position, I guess, squad. Right?
Yes, also that. So anyway, we've got a lot of stuff to get to. By the way, this Fernando Mendoza story is unbelievable. This John Mateer went down.
Yeah.
He's down, broke his hand. So they said that I heard it on. I'm watching college football last night. They're saying Fernando Mendoza is a leader for the Heisman right now at Indiana, and I was like, wow, what a great story, man! Just a kid out of Columbus. He and his brother won a bunch of state championships, and
you let him go.
It would be really interesting. I kind of know the story. I think I was told not to tell the story, but it's a really good story because
you can tell it anyway, right?
Mario has a really close relationship to Dr. Mendoza and grew up with him. His father's a doctor down here, and so the families know, you know, small world, all know each other real well. And a lot of people thought after the game he had against Miami that, hey, they're going to get for, because he was going somewhere. He had everybody. He was getting NIL money from everybody. All the big conferences wanted Fernando Mendoza. And a lot of people, and I guess there was discussion about it, and it didn't happen. But he's had a hell of a year, man. Just a great year with Indiana. Nice story from a guy from right here in South Florida. We have a lot of stuff to get to here this morning while we're getting going here. And besides all that stuff, did you see the balls and strikes? They're going to do it. They're going to have a challenge next year in that little box. Two per game. Two per game. You play extra innings, you get another one. I see it already. I can see two strikes. They look, see if he catches the line, and that's it. I hate it personally. Not a fan.
Everybody, you want to get it right, don't you?
Everybody.
I'm with you though on baseball. Like, I feel like human error with an ump is kind of like part of the game, right?
Well, I just think everybody's got their own strike zone. They're never going to be perfect. There's never been an umpire that's called a perfect game behind balls and strikes. There's never been a guy, no matter how good he is. This is the greatest umpire in baseball. He's got game seven behind home plate for the World Series. He's gonna get fooled. He's gonna miss on a breaking pitch. I mean, these guys throwing nasty stuff. There's no way.
It's just impossible, right? Because a lot of those balls, I mean, they're so close.
Yes. So anyway,
I like technology in sports, though, man. I love that new measurement thing they're doing in football. Oh. I've been a big fan of that. I tell you that for years.
Yeah,
we should be doing that, but
not
you don't like that?
Nope.
You need those two like 80-year-old men to run out.
They're
with.
They're not all 80. You got to do better.
90. Sorry.
No. They're
the guys
gotta,
that get crushed on
I'm
the sidelines.
I'm not saying they're 20. By the way, did you see the hit the Washington coach? He got the crap knocked out of him. And welcome back, and a good morning to everybody out there, especially everybody joining us after the holiday yesterday, and Woody and Jamie back in today, listening to the family day yesterday a little bit, and spending time with your families, and great to have you back with us if you're up early this morning, and getting set, man. One thing about these football games, they fire. Florida State, all of a sudden, I'm watching a Florida State Friday night game against Virginia. Kind of get that early scouting report. And I know what you do, Canes fans. We all do that. How do we match up? How do we match up with Florida State? Does Florida State beat Virginia by 21 points? Does that happen? What's the spread on that game, Woody?
It was 6.5 last I looked. So about a touchdown, Joe.
Yeah. Thought it might be
going
more
on the road. The thing with Florida State, though, is like, do you know definitively how good they are?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Nope. I have no idea.
I don't know how great
idea.
Alabama is.
Nope. Well,
this is not, I mean, this isn't Nick Saban's Alabama.
Well, Bama and Georgia play, so we'll get a little better idea.
Yeah.
And I hear people That's saying true. Georgia's not, this is not the same Georgia team.
I don't think a lot of these SEC teams, for some reason, by the way, I don't know why they're spending, obviously, a fortune on these teams, but
yeah,
none of those teams seem to me like they jump off the pages like, this is the best team.
Some people thought Oklahoma and Texas might be the best team. The two newcomers.
LSU's ranked the highest out of all of them now, right?
You drinking that Kool-Aid yet
no.
on them?
I mean, I'm not. I watched them play against Florida. Their offense stinks.
Their offense not very good, and even though
their coach is a Looney Tune.
Well, I don't care about him.
Okay, melts down after they ask him about his offense.
Yeah, and then he does the apology a couple of days later when somebody goes, nice. Hey, you know, it's a really bad look.
You kind of acted like a child there. Yeah, you're getting paid like $1 million a game.
Why is it we win? And you guys, by the way, it goes on for every school. Every school when you win. If there's something not right, somebody goes, hey, great win, coach. Carson Beck didn't play great, though, huh?
I mean, there's a legitimate question, though. What did the offense put up in that game? 13 points?
Yeah.
It's a legitimate question.
You got five extra possessions in that game.
Yeah, right?
Here, take five more.
One of them was a touchdown.
Yeah.
A pick six. I mean, take them. Yeah, these are legitimate questions there, coach.
But some guys, by the way, Oklahoma State, so much for I'm a man, I'm 40.
That's tough.
Pick on me.
Yeah.
Boy, they didn't wait.
Zach got old, huh?
I didn't realize he lost so many games in a row. I mean, he was
I also think – schools don't want to hear about this, like, hey, we're not paying enough, this and that. People don't want to hear that crap.
I'm guessing that was a big one. It's
that,
funny you
to
said
me,
that.
Is like, I mean, you lose games, but I don't want to hear about, oh, we're not giving up enough.
When you make it a point, so it wasn't really so much that they're getting ready, Oklahoma State was getting ready to play Oregon. They knew what was going to happen. He's not a dummy. He looked, and he goes, uh-oh, my team, Oklahoma State's in big trouble when we play Oregon. So this is a good time to throw out, you know, we're not spending very much money like the rest of these guys. And it was like nobody cared, right? Because at one point, nobody spent more money than Oklahoma State. And the one man that they had there, what was it, Pickens or something, Pickens, or spending all that money building everything at the school.
Boone, G. Boone, Pickens
or
something.
Yeah, something like that. But hey, man, I don't know about you, but nobody wants to hear. And by the way, there better not be any of the power conference schools coming out saying, well, we just don't spend the money like everybody else. And maybe you should leave the conference because these are the rules, the way they're set up. They're not changing. They're not going backwards. It's only going to get worse.
Just a lack of self-awareness, right? Like, you're getting paid so much as a coach and you're going to complain that, like, they're not giving enough to the program.
Cat under $7 million a year.
Yeah, so you give some of that back if you want.
Right. Yeah, you can throw a couple million in there, and
I'm sure he could live off of $2 or $3 million.
Well, nobody wants to hear it, and whatever it was.
That to me is just like
I think that turned to school.
Yeah,
I think that turned to school. I think when you like you throw our business out there.
Yeah.
Well, you've never heard any of the schools in any of the power conferences say, well, we're spending a lot of money. We better win. And they throw out a number. Now, we did hear Ohio State maybe say they had didn't they say something at one point it was $26 million? And I don't know. It seems like they're the only school to really. And that was like a wake up. And then everybody went, wait a second. If Ohio State's spending that, what is everybody else spending? You know, it's like, well, you think Michigan's going to go, all right, you spend 26? We'll spend 10. No, of course they're going to go out and spend a lot of money.
They have it to spend, though, right?
I think all those schools. You see Virginia Tech right now. Virginia Tech just made this commitment to, hey, we realize we got to spend money. They even put the amount of money they're going to spend. So everybody that they're recruiting and everybody out there knows, hey, we're and alums, that we're committed and we're going. It's not going backwards, folks. And I think we're starting to get used to it.
You don't think a school like North Carolina, talk about ACC schools, North Carolina's going to be spending a fortune.
Yeah.
They bought an entire new football team. And you got all those fancy NFL coaches running around over there. They must be spending a fortune to go on the road and get
and the guy,
by UCF.
The guy that sponsors them, they're the Jordan Nike product. Michael Jordan went to North Carolina. You saw him up there for the opener, sitting up there. I'm guessing MJ's writing a pretty little check to them to be a Nike Jordan school. He didn't do that with everybody.
No.
And all those kids would love that. If you knew you were getting a Michael
Jordan
Nike.
Thing's cool.
Yeah, that's like, because now you're getting all those shoes.
Jordan stuff's cool. Kids like the Jordan stuff.
Yeah, but it would, listen, if there was one thing I'd like to know that's going, you know how sometimes we go, man, I wish I was in that meeting. I'd love
you
to
know what everyone's spending.
I'd love to know what everybody's spending. Yeah. And I don't mean just the schools. I mean the NIL money coming in. I'd like to know all the money everybody had to put every dime out there. There's really no limit on the outside on NIL.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, how would you even go about doing that? Like, a lot of that money is probably unaccounted for the most part, right?
So if I'm going to throw out a number right now, I am not surprised if we have school spending on their football by the school, and of course the NIL money on the outside, separate money, mm-hmm. unlimited, by the way, whatever you can raise and get, you know, you get it approved real quickly, you clean it up and make it look good, and the NCAA goes, it's good, take it. I think we have school spending $50 million plus a year on their football program.
Okay.
Not program, football program, $50 million. You start giving one guy, well, we know we got a quarterback making $6.5 million in Texas. That's come out, what he's making with everything he's doing. Now, a lot of that's not school. A lot of that, as I said, on the outside.
Every starter at a school like Texas has to be in the seven figures, though, right?
Well, they can't all be seven figures.
You don't think so?
No. No, I can't. Okay. You can't do that. It's like NFL teams, like, you really break down NFL teams. You got a lot of guys making towards the bottom.
We're going to find out that they are. I got to think, if you're a starter on a team like that, you got to be making close to $1 million.
They're
bucks.
Probably spending, like I said, more than 10% of their money that's coming in is going to their quarterback, to Manning. I'm just doing the math here. You start doing, it's like, it's a little bit like the NFL, right? NFL spends a lot of money on the quarterback, and then you work your way down. You got to work around it.
You got to get guys to protect them.
Yeah.
Got to get guys to throw it to. Guys to run the ball.
So, to your point, though, I have no idea how many guys are making seven figures salaries on some of these top teams that
gotta
are spending
be
a lot
of
money.
Them.
Listen, everybody's ripping Oregon right now, and I don't think it's fair because I think there's a lot of other schools right there, if not more. I think there's four or five schools in Texas that are spending right up there with. Would not be surprised if the make-believe numbers ever came out, we would find out that the Texas schools, from SMU to A&M to Texas, find out they spent a lot of money.
Well, at some point, you got to figure out what, you know, it's worth, right? Because you get these huge home games, right, that bring in a ton of money. You get these huge TV contracts. And if you go into the playoff, you make a little run, that's got to make it worth it.
But there's a limit. This new thing, there's $20 million you can spend on your sports program. That's why I'm saying all the money has to come from the outside. Well, I think they do follow that. I just think they can generate. You get a bunch of rich guys at a school that have a lot of companies, and there's a lot of guys. You throw in a Stephen Ross in Michigan, and then I find out like there's a whole bunch of those guys. There's guys spend a lot of money.
I'm sure.
So. They're not only stopping with sports, they got different med programs. They're involved in business.
That doesn't matter.
The business building and all the other stuff.
Football games.
Anyway, it would be interesting to see what everybody spent. Listen, it's professional football. We can stop with the other stuff and, you know, about, you know, amateur sports. It's not. Guys are making a lot of money. Hell, we got guys that aren't getting drafted to go out. Not getting drafted where I thought, but I'm a good college player. I'm going to stick around another year. You can pay me one more year.
Well, there's one thing that really bothered me, and that, you know, we were talking about. We're doing pregame for the Gator game, right? And they're talking about if Florida loses this game, you know, there's still an opportunity to sit out the rest of the year and transfer, right? Because you get the four games.
Right.
I hate that rule, man. Like, you're going to leave because the team's not winning. You're looking bad,
Woody. It seems to me,
Joe, that's not a good thing.
Listen, man,
we've seen it a lot, especially in college basketball. I've seen it.
I would love to get back. Honestly, one thing, the old school I like. You got 5 years to go for. We used to call it the red shirt year, which I had one, hated it, but 5 years. And
I don't know, man. They go out after game four up. The guy's in a walking boot.
Yeah, but medical. Yeah, the medical thing. God, we got guys playing 6-7 years.
Yeah.
They're going until they're 24, 25 years old.
Wouldn't you advise a kid that if you know they're probably not going to go pro, wouldn't you say, hey, milk this thing as long as you can?
I think we have guys do that, yes.
Why not? Why wouldn't
you? Guys do that. Well, if you're not playing where you are, I've always said the best move is to go to either a low-end power school or drop down. Drop down and build your value back up at a smaller school. FIU and FAU, perfect example.
I think you have a good idea, though, for the most part, if you're going pro, right? or if you're going to milk this college thing and try to make enough money to last you a lifetime.
I think guys still want to get Woody. I think most guys still want to.
I got you.
It's always there.
Joe, if you're like one of these basketball players, you make $2 or $3 million in your college career, you're set up for life, essentially.
No.
Most people won't make that in their lifetime.
I understand, but I'm telling you, most of those guys' goal is to play professionally.
I got you. But you know that that's a very small percentage.
Yes, guys, but that doesn't point. Stop guys when they're getting recruited going, my goal is to play for you for 3 years and 3 years and out. And then you realize not doesn't happen to that many guys. And if you try it after your third year, you're probably either going to get drafted in the sixth or seventh round or not drafted at all for a lot of guys.
Sports Talk on WQM is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today, Joe.
Thank you, Woody. And, man, I know a lot of fans out there. After 3 weeks for the Dolphins. By the way, a lot of people felt like this going to happen. Let's be honest. I know a lot of people.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
People were upset in the offseason and during camp that people were saying, national people were saying Dolphins aren't going to be very good. And then they get off to this start. And I know a lot of people are somewhere between pissed, disappointed, and frustrated. Would you say that, Woody? Pretty much that's – or we.
Well, I don't know that anyone thought it would be this bad, right?
No,
that's the thing. Like, it's been so much worse than you could have imagined. I like most, I think, thought the Dolphins would win the opener.
Yeah.
Right? I thought you had all this time to prepare. You've been dumped on all offseason. I thought they were going to go out there and just put on a show in that opener and just be like, F you to
everyone. I did, too.
I also didn't think the Colts would be very good.
I thought they would.
And I was way off. We were all way off on that one.
I think we've learned one thing. There's got to be serious mo going into the season. You've got to have that thing built up. You got to have your guys. They got to have some timing and stuff. You just can't show up game one. And if you haven't been playing together and expect just because a couple of throws in a practice is just not going to get it done. And so that didn't go well. And then outside of that, you've had your chances to, I don't know if you beat the Bills, they totally outplayed you, but you're sitting there with 5 minutes left and you have a chance to tie it up. And if Mike wants to get aggressive and go for two, if they do score, they didn't. So it's not worth it. And the way it ended with interceptions has been disappointing. So, hey, the Jets they got their own problem. They're not very good. They're not very good. I saw they put a couple of guys on IR yesterday and,
you know what they're talking about in their markets, Joe. They're probably saying the same.
Yeah, no, this is a chance for us to get this game.
We got to win this game.
Yeah, this is no question. Whatever we're saying about them, they're all saying about us and watching the tapes and probably had a chance to watch Thursday night football if you're the Jets trying to – the coaches have studied all the tapes, but your fan base has had a chance to kind of watch and see and try to figure out how this thing matches up. You got to beat the Jets on Monday night football.
Saying that for a few weeks.
And then on top of that, you got to go Carolina Panthers. I know they got one win and they hammered.
Hey, man, these teams are all heady in the power rankings for whatever that's worth.
Nothing. It's worth nothing.
Okay.
Worth nothing. I think a lot of those teams will
should be worth more than like at least you casually saying like we got to go beat them because it's going to be a lot easier said than done, I think.
They've shown no signs of blowing anybody out. Yes, I totally agree with that. But they,
and you tend to play down to competition, right? I mean, the Patriots game was a good example of that. I don't think the Patriots are particularly good. Do you?
No, but boy, did they hand
God, the division's so bad, except for
they handed
Buffalo.
Pittsburgh. They handed Pittsburgh one of the greatest gifts of all time. Why? I wish somebody turned the ball over five times for us. I see two teams last week turned it over five times. And usually, if we're talking about turning the ball over five times, there's usually, you know, there's usually a pick six or a somebody picks up a fumble and runs it back, right? There's usually, you turn it over five times, the defense usually going to take one to the house, at least. So
a lot of turnovers out there. I didn't even get to talk to the big horse, turned it over again.
Big horse.
What's up with the big horse, man?
Fourth quarter, tight ball game.
Yeah, you can't give him the ball anymore. You can't trust the big horse.
3-3 games.
It's not good.
No. I'm not worried about them, though. And they're okay. All the defense. And
okay.
Because I just feel, fine. Whatever, I feel like, man, they're going to score 30 every game.
Yeah. Oh,
they're
no. You've been on the Ravens for a long time. I know.
Well, I can't give up on them now. But, boy, was I wrong about them having the best overall team, that defense. I
have no idea who the best team in each conference is. Absolutely no clue at this point.
That's why this thing with the Chiefs struggling, and the Chiefs got a tough, they got a tough schedule. Denver, all of a sudden, everybody thought they were going to be great, and they're off to a slow start.
Joe, this is why, though, you asked if the Dolphins fans are frustrated. This is why it's so frustrating, because this is how this league is designed.
Right.
It's designed for every team to be relatively similar.
Within a year. It's a great point. And to your point, think about this.
I've been saying this for a long time. That's how the league is designed.
I disagree with Mike Florio so much on the draft. And he keeps, wow, I want more freedom for every player to make sure
they
do
what they want. Yeah.
I go, hey, Mike, that thing is set up so the teams that suck, and usually a lot of times the teams that are really bad can't figure it out anyway, but they get the higher picks, which means they get their choice of more good players if they hit on the right guys, which got hit on the right guys. But the second part is the teams that are really good got to play a tough schedule. Nobody realizes that. You go, wow, look at who they got this week. And now, I mean, Philadelphia is going to have a tough schedule.
Mm-hmm.
All the top teams will have tough schedules. And so that's what's frustrating to your point. If you're bad, your schedule is just going by what everybody did the year before. Looks easier. Now, it doesn't always work that way. The Colts are undefeated, so we are wrong about that. But we're not playing in some of the schedules these other guys.
Hey, the Colts got some good players, man.
Yeah.
They did a nice job with that. But again, that's how it's designed, right?
Right. By the way, Daniel Jones can't play. They were having a debate about who should start a quarterback up till, what, 2 weeks before? Yeah. And the agent. By the way, how's that agent feel for the backup quarterback right now? My client got screwed.
Yeah.
We're checking into this. Yeah? How's that check going so far?
Well, you look at it, it's like maybe it's a Giants problem. I mean, look at, you know, what they got going on over there. They're shuffling quarterbacks. So maybe that's a problem over there. But
and they draft a guy in the first round. And guess what? Now we get to see him.
Yeah. There you go.
Hey, a little earlier than you wanted, but we get to see your number one pick and see if he's any better. Is it just that team's bad?
To end it on this, though, it's like, this is why when you start talking about tanking, and I know it's early, but you don't want to be stuck at like an 8, 9, 10 win team. That's the worst place to be. Because you're not going to get good enough to get over the hump, apparently. Right? And you're not bad enough to get that top pick. So
but even tanking now, look at all the teams that have taken these top picks and they haven't worked out. Now it's not all their fault. A lot of times the teams can't figure it out. Because sometimes I don't know if anybody playing quarterback is going to be good in New York. I don't know. Whatever they're doing, I don't know.
And also, I think this upcoming quarterback class looks like a mess.
But I got to tell you, that same guy, Dable, who was an offensive coordinator with the Bills, was the hottest thing going when he had Josh Allen at Buffalo. Hottest thing going. Now he's there. No Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's a coach.
Hey, man, try to figure it out for me. Yeah.
Like, Mike is tied to Tua, and Tua will now eventually cost Mike his job. Mike probably won't get another head coaching job because of this.
And they'll say he's more – I already hear it all the time now. Everybody's come up to me going, you know, He should just be, can be one of the guys. He should just be a coordinator. Coordinator can still be a good guy. The coordinator can throw everything on, because I always hear this. Mm-hmm. Coordinator's going to go, hey, guys, coach wants to pick it up today, so we're going to have to go hard. Oh, man, that's BS. I'm tired. Hey, man, I know. That's what coach wants. That's what the coach wants. But you can kind of throw stuff off on, right? You're never going to have a head coach everybody likes. Maybe here, though. Anyway, right now I want to talk to you about something very important. If you are a truck person, I want to let you know it's truck month at your South Florida Chevy dealers. We got some great deals. We got some great trucks. And if you're starting to look around, hey, whatever kind of truck you're looking for, we got it. The durable Colorado with the standard turbo max and impressive torque that you get with it and just everything you could ever need, man. For South Florida, we got that truck. We'll just do it all for you. Silverado 1500. Always ready, steady, and strong, delivering all the power you could ever want. Whether it's a workday workhorse or a weekend warrior, whatever you're looking for, you work 5, 6, 7 days a week and make a living out of that truck and a little extra money on the weekends, we got a Silverado HD truck for you as well. Boy, I'll tell you what, legendary horsepower and one of the hardest working beds in the business. Whether it's a mid-size, full-size, or heavy-duty truck, you need something as strong and durable as you are. We got a Chevy pickup that's absolutely perfect for you. See your South Florida Chevy dealers today for outstanding offers going on right now at 14 dealerships throughout South Florida.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.